League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. It is Ball Don't Lie, episode 117, man. As you can hear, the blunt being sparked in the background, man. Dante is doing the trademark for all of you guys. Did we get a new one? Did we get a new lighter?
Because I'm about to Damien, we got a new one, bro. We tried it. We rolling it.
We're good. Everything is back in
order. I told you, G, there will be no Damien slander this season, G. We got stacked up. We getting niggas' names right. We doing everything we need to do, G. New lighter.
Exactly, man. We getting into it, man. As usual, man, we are your hosts, man. I am Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbchair Scott. You can follow Dante at October's on Tay on Twitter, man. You know where you listen to this. This is the Barber's Chair Network. You follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. And Patreon subscribers, man. We shout out to y'all. We're getting more and more Patreon subscribers every week. We appreciate y'all. If you are not a part of the Patreon subscribers, you need to sign up right now. Go to patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. Patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. There we go. Go over there. There's two different packages. You got the $5 package if you just want to hear Summer Sessions episodes. You got the $10 package, which includes Summer Sessions, OT, and everything else we got going. We got Cinema with the Guys exclusively on the Patreon, where we're going to be dropping season two of The Sopranos review. Me and my brother broke that down. And since this is Friday, when you listen to it, it's available right now on the Patreon, man. And Summer Sessions will be available on the Patreon right now, too. And then we haven't even while we're recording, this is Thursday. I'm just going to tell you right now, the episode's probably going to be wild. So you might want to listen to that shit. But we are here, man. This is our third week doing this. The NBA is moving and grooving. A lot of shit has been going down, man. I want to start off with, I think, the biggest story in the NBA outside of coronavirus coming in and wrecking everything. We've actually reached 20 cancellations in the NBA.
Fucking postponements crazy.
In the NBA today. Like the Orlando Magic, but I feel like the Washington Wizards haven't played a game in almost 3 weeks. Like, them niggas played for like a week and a half, and bro, got shut down.
They released their injury list. They had 9 niggas on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, like, real crazy. Like, there's all this shit getting shut down. So, we gonna go with that. But the biggest story, man, the Brooklyn 3. The Brooklyn 3 of Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, man. Of course, this is the third game that Kevin Durant and James Harden have played together. Last night was Kyrie's first game back after taking almost 2 week sabbatical for, you know, Lord knows what. We still don't know.
He spoke about it on his Instagram. He said he had some family issues he was going through, things he was taking care of. Yeah, okay. And you know, with the new emphasis on mental health these days, you got to take his word for it. So look, glad he's back.
I always said my feelings.
He didn't skip
Kyrie.
A beat. He ain't skip a beat. So
he skipped the beat. We're going to get to that in a minute. You know my feelings on Kyrie. I said it last week.
Yeah. But I'm just glad because, like, my thing is I plan to take a different approach with this big three as I did with the last one. It's probably because the Bulls not contending for a title right now. But, like, right. The last big three, it was a lot of hating. And I didn't really appreciate the greatness until after the fact. And I go back and watch it. And I'm like, yo.
I mean, people still don't appreciate the Warriors.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the Warriors. I'm talking about the Heat, the first big three, the first real big three. You know what I'm saying?
Because even don't consider the Warriors a big three?
Nah, I don't think Klay is a superstar. I think Klay is great, but I don't think Klay is a superstar.
You think Bosh was a superstar?
Okay, touche. Good point. But I guess you can consider them a big three, but I would still consider Miami the original big three.
Miami was the original big three.
I think with Ray and KG and Paul Pierce, they were all old. I don't consider them
I put it like this. I think we talk about the super team.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think Boston was a super team, though.
I'm talking about young in their prime contracts lined up. If we want to keep doing this.
Okay, well, that's two different ones. That's two. We can look at it like this. You got Boston was the first super team, but they were put together by the front office.
Yeah.
LeBron, we talk about the last 10 years, and of course, we always talk about LeBron's legacy. I said the two big things that's going to stand out about LeBron is he's the first player, I believe, that's a system. Like when you put him, you pull him, you can plug LeBron in anywhere. And also him giving power and player empowerment to players out there. And I think those are going to be his two biggest legacies. So, yes, in my head, this is the fourth big three, because I think it was the Miami big three. I think Cleveland had a big three, too. They just got beat by a bigger big three. That's really what that was.
Kevin Love, his step back seemed even bigger than what Chris Bosh did. Chris Bosh was still like very instrumental in those Heat teams. Not saying Kevin Love wasn't, but he didn't have that same impact that Bosh had.
I would say that Bosh was definitely the most underrated member of the big three. I'm not gonna say that about Kevin Love. I do believe like people like to treat Kevin Love like he's a motherfucker.
Because he's white.
LaMarcus Aldridge, that might have a good point to do with it.
It's because he's white.
But and also because I feel like LeBron made him a spot shooter, but that's a discussion for another day. But I think go ahead what you were going to say about how you were judging big three.
Yeah, so like with this, I'm like it's not going to be a lot of hate from me, especially because I like KD. I'm really going to just try to appreciate what they're trying to do. And I think like, you know, you got some of the overreactions from the game last night that we're going to get into where they, you know, the defense, you know, was clearly lacking, but also you got to take into account Colin Sexton went crazy. Like, bro had 40. Man. The Cavaliers hit 23s. So, like, this offensive output you saw from Brooklyn is going to be every night. Like, they can do this with their eyes closed.
It'll be more efficient.
Yeah, exactly. Those three combined for, what, 97 and 98 points.
Yeah.
And so, you know, on most nights, that's going to beat teams. And so, the main issue with them is going to be, you know, the defensive end, especially getting rid of Jared Allen. DeAndre Jordan really being your only center on the roster. That's going to be a problem. You saw him running Jeff Green at the five. You saw KD defending 1-5 at times. You know, the defensive strain on him is going to be even larger. You know, Harden isn't as bad a defender as people try to make him seem. I know you don't like hearing that shit, but it's the truth. You know,
I mean, Harden had another triple-double last night.
You don't have to worry about him on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to be the facilitator and, you know, KD and Kyrie are going to get their buckets. And, you know, they usually do it in a pretty efficient manner. So, like, offensively, I'm not worried about that team at all. Plus, you got some of the best offensive minds, you know, on the coaching staff. So, they're going to be all right. I'm not worried about that. They'll figure that out. People get their shots. I know the first for a minute, what was that? When Harden he took 10 shots the first game they played together?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he took, like, 10 shots. But then, you know, like I said, against the Cavs, everybody rolling, everybody rocking. You saw what happened. And so I think the only thing they really got to worry about is the defensive end. But I think the first impressions is, man, it's going to be some of the best offensive basketball we've ever seen. And I know that's tough to say because we just saw the Warriors go on their run and the things that they've done. But I think with these three talents, with the abilities they have, the versatility they have on offense, I think that's really going to be impressive and really crazy to see. So, like, you know, give them time on defense. Like you said, like we said last episode, the buyout market is coming. They'll get another big. They'll do something. But for right now, my first impression is I love what I see.
I think there's a lot of ways to go here about the Brooklyn Nets. I will say they're very fun to watch. They're a very fun to watch team. And one thing you know about super teams, if you look at every super team, there's gonna be overreactions. Remember the Miami Heat 2010, 2011, they started off 9-8.
Yeah.
I remember one game they beat the Lakers by like 10 or 14 points. I remember that game because Kobe was playing peak go to hell ball. Like, Kobe didn't give a shit who the fuck was on the court. He like, I'm finna beat these niggas by my damn self. Yep. So I remember that. And then they just went like on a fucking run. But like every game, like they win, they're gonna win the championship. They lose, break it up. Dwayne Wade, who's the leader of this team? Like, all them type of things. Remember how the Warriors will lose? Everybody will lose their shit. They can't play defense. They don't have no bigs. Da 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 da. So you're gonna see the overreactions night in and night out with I think it's with contenders in general. Like, when the Lakers lost to the Warriors the other night, everybody was trolling. Of course, I was involved in the trolling just because, you know, it really has nothing to do with the Lakers. Everybody needs to leave my boy Steph alone. I'm you know, I'm Steph apologist. And they won again last night, by the way. They're 8-6. But anyway, actually, they're 9-6. They almost look like a win away from double-digit victory.
It's a long season, but okay.
And they're just going to get stronger. But anyway, the thing is with this one is everybody's like, oh, this is scary hours. Y'all lost to the Cavs. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I think the thing here, the X factor of this whole thing is Kyrie Irving. And I say that because last night they had like around 90 points total. Harden didn't shoot the ball too much. Harden only shot the ball like 14 times. This nigga Kyrie shot the ball like 28 times, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 28 or 30. It might have been 30. Let me double check. I was just looking at it.
I thought it was 27, but I think it's in that 20.
Kyrie Irving shot the ball 28 times. It was 15 to 28. Still shot 53%. So, yeah, Harden had 21, 10, and 12. KD had 38, 12, and 8. Almost a triple-double. And Kyrie had 37 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. But, you know, he was out there scoring. And I feel like the offense looked better in the two games that we saw with just Harden and KD when they played I think it was Orlando and the Bucks, which was a big win against the Bucks. And when Kyrie came, it was like they were, you could see they didn't have that much chemistry, that they didn't have enough practice time. I feel like they were being too nice to each other of who's going to have the ball. And I think they need to make it as simple as this. James Harden needs to be the point guard of this team. Kyrie Irving needs to be the shooting guard. But in the last 2 minutes of that game, I don't want James Harden shooting. Set niggas up. I'm not saying he can't make these shots, but when the playoffs come, he doesn't have a good percentage with them shits. So let's start that shit now.
See, I mean, I feel you, but at the same time, you're still talking about one of the best offensive players of all time. So like, you can't really say he can't take them shots. Obviously, I would go KD, Kyrie in that order.
He is, but he has two players. I feel like offensively better than him. KD for sure.
Yeah, KD. I think KD's the best offensive player in the league, like hands down, without question.
I feel like Harden is more offensively well-rounded than Kyrie. Mm-hmm. But when I just need a bucket, Kyrie can just go get me a bucket.
But I can say the same thing about James Harden.
But he can also jag. Like, he'll spend 30 minutes of the shot clock dribbling, put a bullshit shot up.
But that's when he's settling for a three. But like, you gotta think he also gets to the rack when he wants to.
He's definitely forgetting. Well, he's
6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan, crazy like that. You know, with a guard handle.
But what I think, what I'm more trying to say, it shouldn't be closed by committee. If all else fails, give the ball to Kevin Durant.
So if Harden got 40 this night, he just cooking that night, and it still happens to be a close game. You're not giving him the rock at the end. If he's the one that's on that night, like
I've seen Harden crazy. Be on and do some bullshit in the games. Get a ball to Kevin Durant.
But you know, at the same time, he's such a good facilitator that if either way the ball.
No, I want the ball in his hand. What I mean by not, I want him the ball in his.
You just don't want him shooting it.
That's what I mean. I don't have a problem with him shooting it.
Especially on this team.
To score, I want him to set up KD and Kyrie so they have easier shots. But I'm not saying burn it down if he shoots it. I just say at the end of the game, it's a close game, especially if it's like 10 to 15 seconds left. You need one to go home or tie or whatever. Get a ball to Kevin Durant. Get the fuck out of his way.
And if you
look at the Heat, when the Heat started winning, they started winning when they realized LeBron has to be the best player on this team.
Yeah. But they know KD the best player on that team.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think they know that. I'm just saying, like, we can't take too much from this game. I do feel like they need more chemistry together. I think after 20-25 games, we can start giving our appropriate Brooklyn Nets hot takes. But of course, it's the NBA, it's NBA Twitter. Nobody gives a shit. Everybody's just here for narratives.
They going to the Eastern Conference Finals, but
I think they're going to win the East easily. Like, there's only like 3 teams to me that I feel like when at the end of July, I could realistically see holding up that Larry O.B. And that's the Lakers. That's the Clippers. We're going to get into the Clippers later. And the Nets. I think there's teams who can compete. Like the Nets, not the Nets, but the Bucks can compete for a title. The Celtics can compete for a title. But me actually seeing them hoist the trophy is just them 3 teams. But I think the biggest problem here is the defense is terrible. Now, they offensively struggled last night, but I'm going to chalk that up more to lack of practice time together more than anything. They're not going to have nights like that. And even their nights last night was pretty damn fucking good. As much. The defense was terrible. They need to get a big. I don't feel like this is going to be the final roster when the playoffs kick off at the end of May, which is kind of funny because usually we get in the conference finals at the end of May. The playoffs won't be starting till damn near Memorial Day weekend. So I think they're going to pick up somebody either on trade deadline or waiver wire or something. But they need to get better defensively. Like, it looked like I was watching the Bulls play defense last night. And I think watching bad defense is more irritating than watching bad offense, because bad defense is really just effort when it comes to defense. And I feel like the effort wasn't there. I feel like they were just tired. And it was like, whatever, nigga, we're just going through the motions. And they still almost fucking won the game.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that they know they can score so easily on offense. It's like, all right, even if you get a bucket, we're going to get whatever bucket we want on the other side. So, you know, they can win pretty much any shootout. You know, like I said, just last night, Colin Sexton, the shot, like, he was hitting difficult shots. He was hitting shots where people draped over him. So it wasn't like they were just giving those up. So with games like that, you got to just chalk it up to the other team. I think a lot of times when the team that's the favorite loses, we automatically think they just did something to fuck it up. When a lot of times we could just give credit to the other team. And in this case, you know, the Cavaliers are a young, hungry team. And they came in and, you know, obviously I'm sure they took it personal, you know, playing against this new big three. That's what everybody's talking about. They did the tribute video to Kyrie before the game and shit.
I thought it was a nice tribute video.
Yeah, that was dope. You know, Dan Gilbert, he's, you know, done some questionable things, but that was solid. And, you know, so they did that. But I think, you know, they came out ready to play. And so it was one L. Like you said, I think the main thing is they just need more time to gel and be cohesive. And I think once that happens, you'll really see this team take off. But I think even before that, it's going to be easy. Like, the East is okay, but when you look at the schedules and, you know, the way they're going to be playing, a lot of teams trying to, you know, they're trying to limit travel to the playoffs and shit like that. So they're going to play the majority of their Eastern Conference schedule. I don't have no worries about the squad.
Yeah, I don't have any worries about him either. I just want to, you know, Kyrie is the wild card. Not because of, you know, how it's played. I feel like Kyrie can play the game of basketball, obviously, but I think he's easily one of the worst defenders in the NBA. He was getting undressed by Colin Sexton last night. That nigga looked lost. You know what I'm saying? I want to give a shout-out to Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton balled his ass off. He was hitting some real heat check shots last night. That was a very crazy game. Now, with all that being said, I still don't think he's that good of a fucking player. I think he just caught fucking fire last night, and Kyrie was looking like, was playing defense like he was fucking blind. Like, it was fucking terrible. But overall, the Nets are going to be the storyline. I feel like they're going to be the storyline of the NBA season. I think the Lakers and the Clippers are going to play the background. I think the Lakers are going to play the background because they're the champs. And they're the Lakers. And really, it doesn't really matter what the Lakers do in the regular season. I believe once you become a champion, it's all about the postseason. Regular season don't mean shit.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen Lakers. I think one year the Kobe and Shaq Lakers won like 52 games. And, you know, them niggas three-peated.
But this plays into the favor of the Clippers.
Yes.
Because everybody was on their ass, and rightfully so. You know, they started out, they're playing extremely well. You know, Paul George. Even though I don't like hyping Paul George in a regular season, because we've seen Paul George go crazy in the regular season. Yes. But he's doing this thing. Kawhi's playing well. You know, they're, you know, gaining chemistry under Tyronn Lue. And I really think that them playing the background like them this is only going to help them, because we've seen them, you know, when the spotlight is on them. You know, we know Kawhi don't like the spotlight. Paul George, we've seen the things that he's done, the things that happened to him. And so I think with Brooklyn and the Lakers, you know, going for a repeat, that's definitely going to play in their favor going into, I think they've, this is the year they make it to the Western Conference Finals. If that's against the Lakers, I don't know, but I do think this is the year that the Clippers will finally make it to the Western Conference Finals.
This is actually a perfect segue into a new segment we're going to have here on Ball Don't Lie. We got so many names on this damn podcast, I'll be forgetting. But we got a new segment here on Ball Don't Lie called Weekly Observations. And basically, every week, we're going to pick up, like, a couple random things we picked up during the week and things you want to touch on. I've got two random observations, and I want to start with my first one, which, you know, Dante, you kind of brought it up. Talk about the Clippers. There's two things I want to say about the Clippers. One, the Clippers are low-key really, really, really playing some good fucking ball. Like, nobody wants to say this. They have the best record in the NBA right now.
Five-game winning streak,
best record in the NBA, 11-4. The Lakers are 11-4-2, but of course the Clippers beat the Lakers, so they have the percentage points higher than them. And quiet as kept, Paul George is having an MVP type of campaign. Now, granted, it's the first month. You can't really pick who's MVP, but if you look at these numbers, this nigga Paul George averaging 24.4 points per game, 6.2 rebounds a game, 5.6 assists a game on 51% shooting. And he's shooting 50% from three. He's playing good. Kawhi finally looks healthy. They're not load managing. Ain't none of these niggas took off. I really like what Batum and Serge have brought to the team. Pat Bev has been playing a lot better. I really like Zubac off the bench. I feel like he's better in that role. Now, I think the biggest question mark about the Clippers, everybody say they need a point guard, which I'm not I don't disagree with. I do think they could get a point guard. I would love to see them get D-Rose at the deadline. Please, somebody get D-Rose out of Brooklyn. Somebody. Out of Detroit.
They show an interest in Lonzo Ball. I saw that. Clippers? I saw that earlier today. Hmm. You know, because he's falling out of the rotation in New Orleans, you know, after his injury. And then bro went – the night he got hurt, bro had 37, his replacement. So, I mean
– thing about Lonzo, I don't –
it's almost scary hours for Zoe.
Yeah, it is almost scary hours for Zoe. He's teetering the line between staying in the NBA and going to play in Turkey.
Somebody was like, bro went from being can't miss to like, now they said his ceiling might be shunk. Like, a defensive stopper on a playoff contender. Oh, like, man. That might be who bro is. Which, I mean, Shump played, what, 10 years?
Shump did play 10 years, but you can't be the number two draft pick.
Yeah, you can't be the number two draft
pick. You can't be the number two draft pick. That's why niggas get on Andrew Wiggins' ass. Like, Andrew Wiggins damn near put up 20 a game. But he didn't want draft pick.
If Andrew Wiggins was like the 15th or 18th pick, wouldn't nobody give a fuck?
You'd be like, oh, he's a solid.
Yeah, he's a solid guy. He do what about what he was projected to be.
Yeah, you can use a guy like him on your team. But when you're the number one overall pick, not only number one overall pick, people are comparing this nigga to LeBron when he was at Kansas.
Tweaking.
Which I never really understood that comparison. But yeah, that's why you look at him that way. So Zoe can't be the number two overall draft pick and you out here battling with a nigga for your position. Also, I thought he would play way better with B.I. and Zion. Zion finally coming to his own. Zion really out here balling. I'm like, Zion realized that can't nobody fucking guard me. And he's really, really turned up. So I thought Zoe would do better than that. So I wouldn't be mad at him going to the Clippers. And I do feel like the Clippers can get him for the low right now. They don't think they have to give up anybody of real value. And if you can't get your assist, all you need is pass the ball and defend. If you can't do that with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and shit like that, then, nigga, you don't deserve to be in the league.
Yeah, but that's why I think he would be a great fit with them. Because if you had a lineup with Zoe, Kawhi, Paul George defending the perimeter, like, that's ugly. And I know one of the reasons he's falling out of favor in New Orleans is because, you know, Stan Van Gundy, he's not a big pace guy. Like, you know, he slows it down. He let B.I. run the ISO. He let Zion run the ISO. And then they do, you know, play strong defense. That's his mindset. That's who he is as a coach. And, you know, Zoe transition is his thing. That's what makes him go. Like, he, you know, great with the long passes, great just really getting it out there, getting in transition. And then when they not doing that, that's not what the coach wants. It, you know, he really becomes expendable out there. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, because I think that would definitely help the Clippers. But like you said, they're playing great basketball right now without a point guard.
And
I
think
a lot of that is because of Paul George, you know. My only thing with Paul is like, okay, bro, do this in the playoffs.
And that's what's so frustrating about Paul George. You know, the Paul George, Jimmy Butler one is always an interesting debate to me, because if you're talking about skill-wise and offensively, I don't think it's a contest. Paul George, skill-wise, offensively, is better than Jimmy Butler. I do still think Jimmy Butler is a better defender. I think Jimmy Butler is more of a winner than Paul George. And if I had to win one game for my life on the line, I don't even think it's a discussion. Give me Jimmy Butler over Paul George. And so that's what kind of makes Paul George's you know, reputation what it is, because he doesn't do it when it's big time. You know, he called himself Playoff P. You know, my favorite clip is Russ and Melo up there, like, and one of the reporters like, what you think about Playoff P's performance? And Melo like, who? He said, Paul. He called himself Playoff P. He said, that's what he called him. And then him and Russ just started dying fucking laughing. Like, to me, that sticks in my fucking head. And then also, not only when Paul George fails in playoff, he likes to blame other people. Like, no, nigga, it wasn't the plays that Doc was setting up. And by the way, I think Doc is one of the most overrated coaches in the NBA. But it wasn't Doc's fault. You had wide open shots.
But the man said, I needed more ISOs. And then the analytic community jumped out like, wait a minute. You ran the most ISOs of your career under Doc. So what are we talking about here? Like, the scapegoat shit is always an issue. And, you know, that's when a lot of folks from L.A. start calling them Palmdale P. You know?
Palmdale P. Or as L.A. niggas like to say, like, he was like, oh, I'm back home. L.A. niggas like to say Palmdale niggas wish they were L.A. niggas, which is the running joke out
that's
here.
That's when that slander really comes. But, we know Paul George is a great hooper. Like, he has everything you would want, you know what I'm saying? size.
Yes, top
size,
10 speed, talent.
Athleticism, yeah, easily. But it's just a matter of when. Now is he going to perform when they need him most?
Exactly.
That's something we really just got to wait and see. And so I know that's hard, but, you know, people want, you know, constant content as far as the Clippers go. But, like, yeah, the man can hoop his ass off. We know that. But what are they going to do when it's time to really win some shit?
Yeah, and that goes back to, I want to give a shout out to Ty Lue. I really think they're buying into Ty Lue's philosophy. I always felt like Ty Lue shouldn't have took this long for Ty Lue to get a job. Like, he won a championship with Cleveland. And I hate this thing with LeBron and coaches, that they act like he ain't never had a good coach. That shit really blows me. Like, Spo is a top five coach in the league, number one. And also, Ty Lue is really good. They said Ty Lue is the only coach who would tell LeBron to shut the fuck up. And LeBron listened to his nigga. Like, you got to give Ty Lue his substitutions in that game seven, I believe, changed the game. Like, Shump and JR, like, changed it. Well, people forget that 4-point play that JR had, like, in the third quarter changed that fucking game. And to me, that's part of coaching. So I feel like they're finally buying into that. But for the Clippers, playing in the background is the best shit for them. The Brooklyn Nets is the best thing to happen for the Clippers, because now nobody's talking about these niggas, because they're really, really playing good. They beat the Lakers. And if they can just tighten up on the defensive end, that's what I'm more worried about, more than not having a point guard. They're 20th ranked in defense right now. That cannot happen. If they can at least bump that shit up to like 12, and they can keep leads, which I really like the last couple games, this 5-game win streak, is when teams get close, they stop it. Like, I think they were up by like 19 in the third quarter last night. The Kings cut down to like 11 or not 10 or 11 or some shit like that, and they pushed it back up to like 24. So that's what I liked about that. Oh, so it's my second observation of the week. So I got to give a little good love to the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. They are a very good defensive team. Very good defensive team. Top five defensive team in the rankings. I did not know they were that good defensively. I think they've got some exciting players. I really like what I saw from Sexton. Darius Garland, very good player. He didn't play last night. I forgot that Kevin Love was on the team until I saw this nigga on the bench. But just the way they defend, it's like they're real active on the perimeter. And if you got guys who are elite offensive guys like Harden, Kyrie, and KD, they were having a hard time getting shots off. And just that whole defensive scheme, I really liked. And I was like, man, if the Bulls had this, the Bulls would be a 4 or 5 seed in these. If they could play defense like how the Cavs could, because quiet has kept the Bulls one of the best offensive teams in the league. Yeah,
they can score with anybody. They can't defend.
Right. We'll get to the Bulls in a minute. But those are my two weekly observations. Yeah. Clippers, Paul George, MVP discussion, and the Cavaliers defense.
Yeah, I mean, my two are really, you know, we always talk about the evolution of the game and, like, as far as the three-pointers and the pace goes. But, you know, everybody felt like the big man was dying. But I think we really had some really, really exceptional play from some big players, like especially Joel Embiid. You know, right now he's averaging 26-11 steal and 2.8, almost 3 assists a game.
He's killing it.
He's fucking hooping. The Joker. Now, we all, you know, we always hype Russ. Nah, I'm so hype Russ. You know, we praise Russ for averaging a triple-double. He did it, what, 3 straight seasons?
Yeah.
3 straight years. You know, Russ and Oscar Robertson are the last two players to do it. But Jokic is actually currently averaging a triple-double. Bro, he's averaging 25 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. And so that's really crazy to see the way that we've seen that the big man go from simply just, you know, dump it down in the post, play inside out, to now you got guys like the Joker who's bringing the ball up, who's, you know, running the offense. We saw it with Joakim Noah, but it wasn't as fluid. It wasn't the same effect that you see it with the Joker. And, you know, bro, it's really been going crazy. And that young Denver team, I know they started out slow, but, you know, they can pick it up, and I think they'll always be a threat. And they're going to continue to add to that team. And I think the Joker is a big reason why they'll still be a threat. And my third young big is DeAndre Ayton. I know we always talked about
Ayton playing good.
Yeah, he's hooping. We was talking about how CP3 was going to be a big help to Booker, but I think a lot of people underestimated, and I said that, you know, I think that was the first episode, underestimated what he's going to do for Ayton. You know, bro is currently averaging a double-double, and that Phoenix Suns team is playing well, and they're like the 4th seed, which is what we predicted them to be in, around that 3-4 range. And I think that's going to be really dope to see going come playoff time when it's time for their playoff push, because they have a young, deep team. And I think they can get buckets with anybody. And so as long as they can defend, and I think they're a better defensive team than than most. Like last time I checked, I think they were like 20th or something like that. So like, if they can get toward the middle of the pack, somewhere somehow make their way into like top 12, I think they'll be a tough out come playoffs. Huh?
Yeah,
that was my one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And my other observation was shout out to the doctors in Indiana because they probably saved Karis LeVert's life.
Yes.
You know, he did his physical. They found a mass on his kidney. They still haven't said if it was malignant or benign. So trying to figure that out. But he said, hey, this in the long run, this could have saved him. So you know, shout out to those doctors for finding that and not just, you know, being on some team doctor shit and just letting them play. Because then that could have really been bad.
Yeah. They're the opposite of the doctors the Chargers had with Tyrod. Speaking of the Pacers, I really love Sabonis. Sabonis is a guy. Sabonis is a guy now. Sabonis went from being, oh, he cool, you know, you a one or two-time All-Star nigga. This nigga cold.
This is what we would have got if his pops came as a young man. Like, yeah. So I'm glad we're getting to see this because we got OG Sabonis with no ACLs, and he was still hooping. But this is who his father was overseas. But no, I agree, bro. He's another young big that's balling his ass off.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. He kind of looked like Robert Pattinson, too. I don't know if you peeped that shit. The nigga gonna be playing Batman off Tenet. Yeah, no, kind of look like that nigga. but I think the thing, man, with what you were saying about the bigs, I like Jokic is one of them players where it took me a while to warm up to that nigga just because he played like a fat nigga at the YMCA. Like, his game is not aesthetically pleasing.
That nigga couldn't jump over a fucking cheetah notebook paper. Like, if his arms wasn't that long, like Joker, he don't come off the ground, G, but he be hooping his ass off. Like if he shoot a three right in the fourth quarter, I expect it to go in.
Right. And it's like right. It's one of them things, like he don't talk shit. Like he'll come back, hit you niggas with a super slow crossover, pull up from three, and that bitch just all money. And he just sit there looking like, yeah, what you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate his game more now. And I do think that the Nuggets are gonna get back into that top four. We're in the first month, and these niggas didn't really have a training camp. You know what I'm saying? I think Dallas is gonna get better. They finally got Porzingis back. They're gonna start getting a little better.
Definitely.
One thing, you know what's funny about Laurie Markkanen, we're gonna get into the Bulls soon, but he plays very well. He plays very well against Porzingis.
I mean, he got to, bro. I mean, I feel like it's that pride. You feel me? But like, I also think, like you said, we're gonna get into the Bulls in a second. But Laurie, he's been playing well.
Yeah, yes, and we're getting to the Bulls. But those are weekly observations. We're gonna keep doing those every week, man. I'm gonna try to add more and more segments to this thing. But now, it's time to put the spotlight on niggas, man. It's time to talk about somebody. We need to talk about the highest paid player in sports, Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here's my problem with Giannis, man. And it showed his ugly head again in the game against the Nets this past week on Martin Luther King Day. By the way, the Martin Luther King Day slate was 100 times better than the Christmas slate. It was very entertaining. In the end of games, this is a problem because he can't get a bucket himself. Like, there was multiple times at the end of that game where they could have easily beat the Nets. But they had to go through Jrue Holiday and they had to go through fucking Chris Middleton. And I'm not going to sit up here and say Middleton and Jrue Holiday can't get them shots. But you're the main player on the team. You're the franchise guy. That's why they're paying you with $45 million a fucking year. You're the guy. You're the highest paid nigga in sports. That's even over baseball niggas like Trout and Mookie. You're getting paid the most in sports and you don't have a move. You don't have a move. That's a problem because then it's going to be easy to guard you in the games. I'm not worried about Chris Middleton beating me. Like, what's going on? You had fucking Jeff Green body in this nigga. Jeff Green was D'ing his ass up multiple times in that game. I'm like, that should not fucking happen. It was the point where I was trying to figure out, what does this nigga practice on in the fucking offseason? What are you doing? You're a two-time, back-to-back MVP. You were defensive player of the year last year, which you shouldn't have won. Should have went to Anthony Davis. You were defensive player of the year last year. I didn't see you try to box KD up one time. At the end of the game with KD giving niggas buckets, where was the MVP? He was nowhere to be found. And we gotta put the pressure on. And I like Giannis. I'm a Giannis fan. But we give LeBron all the pressure in the world. We give KD and Steph all the pressure in the world. Them niggas got championships. Them niggas got MVPs. You got MVP too now. You got to show up and actually do it. And I seen somebody tweet that the Bucks need to build around Giannis like they build around Shaq. While I do agree with that, here's the problem with that. At least Shaq had like a little hook shot, a little reverse move to get him an easy bucket. And you know Giannis can get to the free throw line, so we got to get better at the free throw line and get him a move, man. Because I don't, you can't have Chris Middleton pulling up a game winner.
And I don't like that because you can't compare nobody to Shaq. Because you got to think Shaq was in an era where the big man was being phased out and he was still the biggest motherfucker out there. Like in those finals when he was just putting Todd McCullough in the basket whenever he wanted to, or like a 56-year-old Dikembe Mutombo, you know, just giving him work. Like, so you can't really compare nobody to Shaq. But I agree, like, with Giannis, that's why I don't like, I hate when people post those off-season workout videos. Like, if you're not showing me you putting up 1,000 shots trying to, you know, do that, I don't really want to see shit. Because, like, that doesn't prove anything. Because, like, once again, when you get into these moments where they need a bucket, and, like, sometimes they do need a three, they can't go to Giannis for that. They can't. He doesn't have that in his arsenal. He don't have a, like, his pull-up game is not that good, you feel me? Like, it's that same drive to the basket, try to spin left, you know what I'm saying, dunk the basketball, run through somebody, you know, that bully ball. And that's not going to work, and we've seen it. And so I feel you because you are the highest paid guy, and it's like we need to see something from you, bro. You gotta show us something, even though this is the regular season. So, like, I hate saying that.
But we can't even say that because he do the same shit in the playoffs.
That he does. That
and, like, maybe he'll have niggas, like, posting them up. They ain't got no business posting them up. I love Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy was posting this nigga up. Jaylen Brown was posting this nigga up.
But, no, it reminds me of the All-Star game when the motherfuckers were just going at him. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we're going to go at Giannis. It's okay.
Yeah.
So that's something he definitely got, especially just for him. Because I think he got a defensive player of the year, but when you look at the scheme that the Bucks play, he play a lot of help defense. Like,
oh, for sure.
He get a lot of steals that way. He get a lot of steals and a lot of backside blocks and shit like that. So it's like, I'm not saying it to take away from him as a defender, but, you know, that's just the facts. So when you get in these crunch time moments and motherfuckers are going at you, or you refuse to just go on KD, you know, that's a problem, G. You know.
KD, and look, KD is a frail nigga, man. KD is a frail ass nigga. Giannis got all the muscle mass. He a big nigga. You should not be letting Jeff Green push your ass around, dog. What's going on here, bro? Like, that's gotta stop. And like, and they're gonna continue to get killed. They're gonna continue to get killed. And I respect, and everybody's, oh, well, Giannis choose loyalty over chase a champ. Ain't loyalty. If a nigga put that amount of money in front of me, I might say fuck a championship too. That's a $45 million a year. You know, I make my own goddamn ring. Like,
no, nah, I mean, I know Kawhi really wanted to live at home, so that's why he turned it down. But
and Kawhi, two-time champion, bro.
No,
but Kawhi was off that money. He already had a championship.
Yeah,
with the Spurs.
That's true, but I mean,
and also you said Kawhi don't give a shit. And that's why I think Kawhi gets away with the slander, like. Paul George is going to get all the slander if the Clippers fail because Kawhi has that ring protection. Not only does he have that ring protection, Kawhi don't give a fuck. Like, Kawhi don't give a shit.
He's not one of them dudes that, like, if they come out against him, he's going to be on social media or,
yeah,
like, calling New Balance like, we need to do a commercial. He don't give
Kawhi a fuck. Don't even talk to niggas, like, at all. So that's the thing. Paul George going to take off and Paul George going to get emotional. But Giannis, man. Look, man, I can't wait to see this game against the Lakers tonight. I'm ready to see this game against the Lakers tonight for two reasons. One, the Lakers ain't played nobody yet, so I really want to see them against a really, really good team. The one good team they played is they lost to. And I'm not going to put that against the Lakers because it was ring night, and I'm pretty sure the niggas was drinking Casamigos in the locker room. So I'm not going to put that against the Lakers for losing against the Clippers. Clippers need that game way more than them. But everybody's talking about, oh, the Lakers can't be stopped. Look at them, da-da-da. They've been beating niggas like Memphis without Ja Morant in Oklahoma City every other fucking night. I'm really eager to see how they're going to play against Milwaukee, and I'm eager to see how the fuck Milwaukee is going to respond. Giannis, what are you going to do at the end of that game when LeBron is on you? Because LeBron embarrassed this nigga the last time they played. Remember the last two games for the Lakers before the pandemic shut shit down? It was that weekend where they had to play the Clippers and the Bucks. And LeBron went out there and went out there and shut niggas up, balled out on Kawhi, balled out on Giannis. Giannis, what the fuck are you going to do? You're home, bro. You're two-time MVP. Show me something, man. So I want to see that. But let's move around to the Bulls corner. Of course, you know, we're Chicago niggas. We're Bulls fans. So every week we're going to dedicate a section to the beloved, to the Chicago Bulls, man. Right now the Bulls are 6-8. They sit at like 12th in the Eastern Conference. Let me double check right here. Yeah, the Bulls are 12th in the Eastern Conference. They are a half game out of the A spot behind the New York Knicks, who are 7-8. And anybody with a brain knows the Knicks are not going to hold on to that. They played a lot of close games, man. What I will say about what I've seen from the Bulls this season is they're buying into what Billy Donovan is selling. Even if they lose games, they play hard every week. Like, even with the West Coast trip, they lost 3 out of 4, but they play hard. And right now they're on a 2-game winning streak, just beat the Rockets on Monday, beat the Mavericks on Sunday. I think Luka had a triple-double. Yeah, 30 in the first half.
Man.
Lost a close game to the Thunder and lost a very close game to the Clippers. So as the last 4 games. And you got to look at it like this, man. Zach LaVine. And by the way, stop asking people to trade. Exactly. It's something about Chicago sports fans. We got this weird obsession with rebuilding. Like, you're drafting, you hope you get a player as offensively gifted as that.
Yeah, like, you're not going to replace. Like, Zach LaVine is a walking bucket. G. He can get 30 when he wants to. And that's something you build around. You don't get rid of that. Like,
I didn't notice the other day. He's second in the league in points total score. Only Dame is ahead of him.
I mean, and people always talk about, oh, you trade up, all that. You hope, like you said, you hoping a motherfucker is Zach LaVine. Like, and Zach is still extremely young. So yeah. Trading him would be foolish. I will say this. I am officially keep Laurie, get rid of Willie Cauley. Wendell Carter Jr. I would be 100% fine with that. I know Wendell we were talking about maybe trading him, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But Wendell can go, G.
Wendell can go.
A defensive guy.
And it's not because I don't think Wendell can play. Because Wendell plays. It's not like Wendell goes out there and he sucks. Like, Wendell's problem is he's fucking small. You can't have a 6'6 center in this league. That's not going to work. And you know, I remember how Stephen A. said, Kwame Brown, he has small hands. The nigga Wendell got baby ass hands. Like, he be getting boxed the fuck out. And he's just annoying as hell to watch. So that's my beef with him. But Zach is a bucket. Once Zach cuts them turnovers down, and he can get his basketball IQ better than what it is right now, because he be on some Russell Westbrook shit at the end of games. And actually, like they show like a stat where he had like all his points, 30, 40, 30, 40, for last like 8 games, whatever. But 3 or 4 of those games we lost because he was doing bonehead shit at the end of games. That's why, like, you got to look more into the box score. Like, I saw somebody tweet, free Zach. Nigga, he part of this shit while we losing sometimes. He's not exempt. It's not like a Bradley Beal situation where he's doing everything he can and the rest of these niggas suck. He contributes to it too. And one thing also, this team will get better and will stop turning the ball over as much as they do when they get an actual fucking point guard. I like Kobe White. Kobe White is a very good player. I think he's a good, he can get a bucket. Very few people can get a bucket like Kobe White can get a bucket. But Kobe White needs to come off the bench. He needs to be in that fucking Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford role. His only job should be is to score. You can't have him set up the offense. It's not him. He's not a playmaker. So they need to go get them a point guard. I wouldn't be mad if they tried to, you know, maybe take Lonzo on a cheap deal during the offseason. And Pat Williams, Patrick Ewing, I love the pick. I loved it when it happened, and it's more and more watching. And then you got guys like LeBron and Kawhi who were saying, oh, yeah, they got one. LeBron don't compliment anybody. Kawhi don't even fucking talk. So for them to have them niggas say what they said about Patrick Williams, let me know that this guy is good. You got contract year Otto Porter. He's been decent. Garrett Temple is low-key been one of the best offseason signings. He's really out there being a vet, showing people what to do. He's hitting good. He's hitting threes, playing defense. He's been really good. I want Denzel Valentine off this fucking basketball team. Like,
oh my god,
he's terrible. I don't really know what else to say. Send this nigga to fucking Turkey, Istanbul, wherever the fuck. Get him off this roster,
bro. He's bad, G. But no, I fuck with Pat Williams. He averaging 10 points, almost 4 rebounds on 48% shooting, 50% from three, low key 87% from the free throw line. So I mean, he's extremely efficient, and that's something that you know. That people talked about when he was being drafted and why the Bulls took a risk on him. And so, you know, it's gonna be dope seeing him develop. And like I said, I love what I've seen from Billy Donovan. His adjustments, you know, the lineups he plays, you know what I'm saying, getting out there running, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes they go small, you know what I'm saying. I think with it shows how, because even though he said they're still losing these games, and like you still see without with the lack of talent, they still are in so many games and they're still actually out there playing and fighting. And that's something we didn't see last year. It was a lot of blowouts, a lot of ass whoopings. And even now, you know, like you said, between that West Coast trip, you had so many games that were one possession games that they lost, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, with a tick more talent, they come through and they win those games. So, I mean, I like where we at right now. But I've been impressed with Laurie, you know, him being back out there. He's really been engaged on offense, you know what I'm saying? I want to see him more at the five because I think, you know, with his size, if we can have him running out there at the five and just hold his own defensively, you ain't got to be locked down. I'm not asking you to do that. But he has to be able to hold on. He hold his own and secure the paint because the Bulls, defensively, that's their primary issue. Like we said earlier, they can score with anybody. But as we've seen.
Are you surprised at how easily this team can score?
Not really.
This was an issue last year.
Not really because, I mean, you got Billy Donovan in there who's running real sets and he's really just putting the ball in the hands of his playmakers because we don't have a point guard. So even with Kobe, a lot of times Kobe just damn near handed the ball off to Zach, you know, and vice versa. Things like that to get them involved, you know, them coming off screens, shit like that. And they all, even though Zach takes a lot of shots, he's pretty efficient.
He's an efficient ass shooter. Yeah, it's not like he's just like out here missing.
He's not just a jack. He's not out there shooting 41% from the field.
Yeah.
But so I mean that plays into their hand. But I think Laurie, him being aggressive, averaging, you know, 19 a game, that helps because that spaces the floor. And with the type of scores the Bulls have at the guard spot, you need that spacing. And I know the Wendell Carter shooting threes, we keep saying, you know, you gotta kill that. But I mean, he adds to that spacing as well because, you know, he ain't gonna be down there clogging up shit. So I think with the offensive scheme that they've installed, it's really helped them a lot. And so that's why you see a much better offense than you saw last year under Boylan. Because Boylan was still on some old school shit and that just don't work no more.
And then also, I feel like even you see from the comments from somebody, I think Gaffer said something the other day, like, it's night and day compared to last year. Like, you know, everybody's dialed in. You said Billy Donovan keeps you accountable at the same time he makes it respectful. And I really feel like one of the biggest issues with Jim Boylan wasn't just the fact I think he's a terrible fucking coach. I think more than anything was he was like a drill sergeant. And if you're going to be a drill sergeant, you got to be a great fucking coach. You can't be a drill sergeant and be mediocre, wasting your timeouts, don't know how to set up plays. And he's supposed to be this defensive guru and these niggas ain't playing no damn defense. Now, granted, the defense is better last year than it is now, but I think it's mainly because of the loss of Shaq Harris and Chris Dunn. I don't think it has anything to do with the scheme they were running. As far as Zach, I agree with that. Zach also, I got to give Zach credit for his playmaking ability. He's really, really getting better. He's finding guys open. You know, this kind of ties into Laurie when the game, or Laurie hitting the game winner against Houston the other day. The ball movement in that entire fucking game, especially that last possession, was chef's kiss. It was beautiful. Like, we've never seen that shit with the Bulls be running. Zach passing up a bullshit shot that he usually takes to find Laurie wide open.
Oh, yeah. Last year, he 100% chucks that shot.
Oh, for sure. Nigga. Oh, last week, he takes that shot. on the West Coast trip, that nigga take that shot. So that's was something I like to see. And Laurie is hitting these buckets. And I have no problem with Laurie shooting threes. I feel like Laurie's going to make those threes more than not. As I want him to continue to be aggressive like he's been. Get to the basket. Get to the free throw line. Laurie's going to be soft from time to time because that's usually the European player stigma. Like, outside of Luka, it's pretty true 9 times out of 10. Like, Luka, and I think Jokic, probably the only European players I can think of, well, I wouldn't qualify them as soft. You know what I'm saying? Even Dirk. Dirk got the soft label for so fucking long. Like, I think he would stop calling himself after they won the championship, but that's usually the stigma that comes with European players. So if Laurie can keep playing as well as he is right now, the Bulls are going to give him a contract. And this is really, I think the goal right now is seeing who's going to stay with this team long-term. What I want the Bulls to do, because we usually talk about free agency, with all these guys re-signing, the next couple free agent classes aren't really that good. So what the Bulls need to do is what the Nets did and what the Clippers did. Be good and competitive enough when you're making the playoffs, either the seventh or eighth seed. You're competitive enough to the next time you can pounce on that next disgruntled superstar. Because it always happens. And then that's how you can add to it. Keep drafting, be competitive, hop on one of those disgruntled superstars, man. I think the Bulls be great. They're a half game out of the playoffs right now. I think that if the Bulls honestly should be like 11-8, to be completely honest with you, they jagged like 3 games they should have won, 3 to 4 games. They could easily be 10-8, you know, 10 and something, whatever, right now, 10-6, whatever. But they need to get better closing games, which I feel like they've got better last two games. And at the bare minimum, I think this team is going to be in a play-in game. So I'm really – and then they're apartment TV now. I get excited to watch the Bulls, which yeah. I haven't in a long in time.
Years, nigga. I actually watch these games now. I'm looking forward to watching them. And they've been highly entertaining. So like, I'm looking forward to as they continue to grow. Because, again, no preseason, no real training camp. So as they get to grow together, I'm excited to see where they go.
Yep. For sure, man. We're going to move on to our last real topic of this new segment we got on called Weekly Power Rankings. We're going to break down our top five teams of each week of who, you know, and I kind of really since with the new NBA with kind of like it's not as many games weekly as there would be pre-pandemic because, you know, they're doing the real like kind of baseball schedule, which I don't like, but it is what it is. So, guys, Weekly Power Rankings, I'll go on my five first and I'll give my reasonings to why they're in these five. My number one team right now, my weekly power rank, I'm going to go with the Clippers. They're 5-0 in their last couple games. They're on a five-game win streak. Kawhi is finally looking like Kawhi. Paul George is having an MVP kind of campaign right now. I really like how Ty Lue got them boys playing. And more than anything, one thing I've liked the most over these last five games is they haven't been blowing leads, which is a big flaw of the Clippers is they give up big-ass leads. And every time Akeem is cut close over this last week, they pushed them back. Got easier baskets, set people up, and building that lead. So I'm going to put them at number one. I'm going to put the Lakers at number two. They're 4-1 in their last five games. LeBron is still looking like LeBron. Anthony Davis has been great. Anthony Davis ain't been great. AD been low-key, all right. But his impact has still been felt. But the number one thing that I really like about the Lakers, I got to give it to Dennis Schroeder, man. Dennis Schroeder looks like an amazing pickup. He's been hooping. Marcus Gasol's been better than advertised. I still think defensively, when the playoffs start, they're going to miss JaVale and Dwight. But they look like a well-oiled machine to me. Kuz has actually been playing well in his role. THT has been playing. I think they're a well-oiled machine. Frank Vogel got them playing. And with the Lakers, like I said, the regular season doesn't matter for them. They're the champs. They got the belt right now. And all the players who were new last year and never won a championship – they're champs now, so they know how the ebbs and flows of the season go. They know that every team they play, this is going to be their team's championship, as evident as by the game against the Warriors. I think that was actually a good loss for the Lakers because I kind of feel like it woke them up a little bit. When you're kind of coasting like that, you need a loss to wake you up. And it was also good for Golden State, too, because I feel like that really got them rolling. So then put them in number two. Number three, I'm going to put the Brooklyn Nets. They're 4-1 in their last five. KD and Harden were rolling those first two games before Kyrie came back. Of course, giving up 147 points to a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers is not ideal. They need to get better than that. But I think once this team really gets more practice time together, more playing time together, they're going to run through the Eastern Conference, man. So I'm going to put them in number three. Number four, I'm going to put the Utah Jazz. Jazz is a team I don't feel like a lot of people talk about. They're quietly like the number two seed in the Western Conference right now. They're 5-0 in their last five game win streak. Donovan Mitchell's been playing real good. Rudy Gobert playing a good role right there. I still don't have much faith in them long-term, obviously, but they're not like a team. I feel like, they're going to be a threat come playoff time. Even though Donovan had a hell of a bubble playoff last year. But they're definitely somebody I think they compete for a top four seed. So I'm going to put them in number four. Five, I'm going to put the Bucks. They're 4-1 in the last five. They're finally looking like the team they were in the regular season last year. Chris Middleton, to me, looks a little better than he was. I don't think he's got any of the fear I think he kind of had. I feel like in the games last year, I feel like he kind of deferred a little bit. I feel like now he's like, I know the best player on the team doesn't have a jump shot or a move, so I got to get it. And even at the end of that Brooklyn game, Brooklyn should have won by like 8 or 10 points. He called fire, hit a exactly. Couple threes, was getting to the basket. He's really looking good, man. And Drew Holiday is all is advertised to me. Drew's one of the most, I won't say underrated players in the league, but he's one of the most important teams in the league. If you got a guy like him on your team, he's a great defender. So I just feel like if Giannis can get better, and Coach Bud needs to get better too. Some of them plays he calls in the games are mind-boggling to me, man. So that's my power rankings: Clippers, Lakers, Nets, Jazz, and Bucks.
All right, my number five team is Philly. You know, I think a lot, you know, with so much emphasis being placed on Ben Simmons' offensive game, people forget he's probably the best perimeter defender in the league, like, so far this year. And I think he should be a top contender for defensive player of the year. You know, I mentioned Joel Embiid earlier and the way he's been playing. Tobias Harris has really been playing his role. You know, what's the rookie that they didn't want to trade? Maxey. You know, he's been doing his thing. And I think, you know, with Philadelphia, with Daryl Morey, you're going to have a similar atmosphere in Houston where they're always going to be trying to get better and add to that team. And I think that's going to be a good solid team for a while to come. I had them at 5. I also had the Jazz at 4. You know, they started off slow, but I think they won 5 straight, you know, behind Donovan and Rudy Gobert. I have the Lakers at 3. Because, I mean, like you said, we already know what the goal is for them and their repeating. You know, they've really been strong across the board, offensively and defensively. So I like what I've seen from the Lakers. I got Brooklyn at 2. I think even with, you know, the adjustment period is going to take, and it's going to take time for them to adjust, the offensive firepower will be that potent to where they're just going to run through teams. They're going to be able to steamroll a lot of teams. And my number one team right now is the Clippers, G. I think, you know, winning 5 straight, Paul George is playing at an MVP level, like you said, Kawhi. You still had them locking up, and they still had the potential to get better. Because, like you said, like we keep saying, you know, it's gonna take time for these teams to actually, you know, really get into
it. They had no camp,
But it seems like they haven't missed a beat. So, yeah. I mean, I got the Clippers as my number one team right now.
And I do think the Clippers. I think the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Nets are gonna be teams that's gonna be really active at the deadline and the waiver wire. You know what I'm saying? Because really, you just gotta. One thing the Lakers have this year, that they didn't have last year. I feel like depth-wise, they're much better. And I do think, to an extent, depth is overrated come playoff time because you're only really running, you know, an 8-9 guy system. You got guys who can get you easy shots. Like, you know, KCP. I really want to give it up to KCP and, like, his kind of career revelation. Because remember, Laker fans hated this nigga a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
This nigga, I feel like he was point shaving his first year in LA.
They only got him. He only on the team because LeBron got him paid. Like,
yeah, he's really. That's when he was on House of Rimmer. They called him. I called him KCP, Kentavious Caldwell Parole. Yeah. I don't call him that anymore. He played great last year in the championship in the playoffs. He was probably like the third best player on the team after Bron and AD. And he's played really good this year now. So it's really, you got to build to beat the Lakers. And I feel like the Nets can score with anybody. They can get them a big and defender. It's going to be hard. But those are our weekly power rankings, man. We're going to wrap this up. Before we get into the Goofy Mog, I want to change my MVP pick on the show.
Uh-huh.
I said Luka Doncic was going to win the MVP. I forgot about number 7. I forgot about that man in Brooklyn, man. I think Kevin Durant's going to get it this year. I think KD is going to get that second one. And I think usually when you have a stacked roster like they do, you kind of cancel yourself out. But the fact he's coming off an Achilles injury, and he don't look like he missed a fucking beat. And to the fact where I feel like they're never – Giannis is not going to win another one again. I feel like Bron got to do some super spectacular – Bron is the point where Mike was at. We're like, okay, nigga, there's nothing you can do to really impress me right now. We know how great you are. You know what I'm saying? We all know it's not the greatest player in the game award, because if that's the case, Mike will have 13. Bron will have way more than 4. Kobe and Shaq will have more than one. So we know that's not it. And Luka, I thought the Mavericks would start hotter than this. Now, I do think the Mavericks will eventually work their way into the top 4.
Yeah.
I think it's KD. I think KD is going to win it, man. So I'm going to change my pick to KD. Yeah.
I'm going to stick to Luka, but I see the reasoning behind that.
And he's going to win comeback player of the year.
No, that's in the bag already.
Goofy Mog of the Week. I'm going to give Goofy Mog of the Week to Doc Rivers. And my reason for giving it to Doc Rivers has nothing to do with basketball, by the way. I was listening to Rich Eisen this week, and he was on there. I got Goofy Mog of the Week because this. They asked him because he's a diehard Bears fan. He is a diehard Bears fan. I've only met Doc Rivers one time. Met him at LAX like 2-3 years ago. And there was a flight to Chicago, and it got delayed because of weather. And I'm about sat down, like, so, you know, just look on my phone, and I looked inside, and it's Doc Rivers. He's sitting right next to me. So I introduced myself. He saw my Bears hat. We literally sat there for like 30 minutes until our plane came talking about the Bears. So I know he's a diehard Bears fan. This nigga said that he likes Mitch, and he wouldn't have a problem if they brought him back. And he said he loves Nagy, and he doesn't feel like Nagy should go nowhere. Just off that alone, I got to give him Goofy Mog of the Week. There's no way you watch this team and come to that conclusion, my nigga. Now, I want to believe that you're being political because Nagy had you talk to the team this year. I gotta give that to you, man. I gotta give it to Doc Rivers, man.
No, that's terrible. mine goes to Marcus Smart, though. Like, he was crying after the 76ers game about flopping. And I think he's been one of the most fine players for flopping in the NBA. So it's like, bro, don't get mad because they beat you at the game that you play.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just some bullshit. So I really didn't like that. But, like, I like Marcus Smart a lot because he's a really good player. But he's made that a part of his game, damn near like a soccer player. And so you can't sit there and get upset when Embiid does it. So that, yeah. I feel like that was just really hypocritical. So that was definitely my goofy mug of the week.
I would say this about Philly. Philly is one of the most ugly teams to watch basketball. I was watching that game against the Celtics last night. I was like, ugh, nigga. Like, they're a good team. It was like, I just hate watching them niggas play.
I mean, because they damn near play through their big. You like Ben Simmons does everything.
It's a real old school type of ball them niggas play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that the who should you keep between Ben and Joel has been answered. It's clearly Joel. I was saying that for years, but I think Ben needs to be on a team that maximizes talent. But Ben is also close to being, okay, this nigga just is what he is.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, G. Ben is a great facilitator. He's a great defender. Like, bro just can't score. So, I mean, if he was on a team that maximized that, and I think having Daryl Morey there is the only reason that even though Embiid is playing great, Morey could then be licking his chops like, all right, now I can trade him for – you know, some picks, some shooters. Because if you surround Ben Simmons with a bunch of versatile wings and, you know, shooters, people that stretch the floor, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. I would love to see him on the Bulls.
Yeah,
I would love to see Ben. I'm not giving up a lot for that nigga.
I'm not like giving up Zach. I'll give him Kobe, though.
Yeah, I'm not giving up Zach. No, I'm not trading Zach.
You could have Kobe. You could have Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah.
Some draft picks. Well, a draft pick.
And a year's supply of Harold's chicken. If anybody called me for Zach LaVine, I'm hanging the fuck up.
Yeah, that can't happen. That's just not gonna happen.
Even if you offer me Bradley Beal, and the reason I say I'm still hanging up over Bradley Beal, I do think Bradley Beal is a better player. But Zach got such a team-friendly contract. It's like, why would I add $100 million to my books?
When you see what Zach contributes and what he gets paid, at first a lot of people were like, why would you max that offer sheet? But it's actually a bargain.
Very much bargain. Very much, man. Looks really, really good. Gonna wrap up, man. As usual, man. This is Bald Online, man. Another week in NBA basketball. I feel like slowly the basketball is getting a little better. Start off really rough. I feel like the players' legs are finally getting under. We're like a month into the season now. Yeah, man, we're tuned in. As usual, man, you know where to follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott. You can follow Dante on Twitter at Octoberzone Tay. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. For our Patreon, man, if you are not a Patreon subscriber, subscribe right now, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And y'all stay safe, man, and we're going to holler at y'all niggas next week, man. We out.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.